The bus ride lasted nearly 2 hours. We bounced over a crumbling road that roughly followed the north coast of the island. To our right were lush green mountains, to the left, the sea. The poverty of the island was hard to miss. We passed little tumble-down houses and shanties knocked together from scrap wood and corrugated tin. Ragged women and scrawny kids walked along the sides of the road. The vacationers in the bus were subdued during the ride. The natives' poverty was a bummer, and they wanted to be sensitive to it. At the same time, they had come for a good time, and it wasn't their fault the island was poor. Jacob found himself seated on the wide bench at the back of the bus next to a girl about his age. She was pretty in a debate team way, and the two kids chatted cautiously. Jacob kept his answers short, as if every word was a stick of dynamite. He wore a dumb grin. Here was a girl who did not know anything about the murder, did not even seem aware that Jacob was a geek who could not quite bring himself to look a girl in the eye. He was proving himself quite capable of looking this girl in the chest, however. It was also wonderfully normal. Lori and I made a point of not staring lest we screw it up for him. I whispered, "And I figured I'd get laid on this trip before Jacob." "My money's still on you," she said. When the bus finally arrived at Waves, we passed through a grand gate, past lush manicured beds of red hibiscus and yellow impatience, and stopped under a portico at the main entrance to the hotel. Grinning bellmen unpacked the bags. They wore uniforms that combined British military bits, pith helmets blancoed to a dazzling whiteness, black pants with a thick red stripe down the side, and bright flower print shirts. It was a delirious combination, just right for the Army of Paradise, the Good Time Army. In the lobby, we checked in. We exchanged our money for the in-house currency of Waves, little silver coins called sand dollars. A Good Time soldier in a pith helmet served a complimentary rum punch, about which I can tell you only that it contained grenadine, it was bright red, and rum, and I immediately had another, feeling it was my patriotic duty to the pseudonation of Waves. I tipped the soldier, Lord knew how much since the exchange rate for sand dollars was a nebulous thing, but the tip must have been generous because he pocketed the coin and said, "Yaman," illogically but happily. From there, my memory of the first day gets a little fuzzy. And the second. I apologize for the silly tone, but the truth is we were damn happy and relieved. With the strain of the previous year finally removed, we got a little silly. I know this story is all a very solemn business. Ben Rifkin had still been murdered, even if it had not been by Jacob. And Jacob had only been saved by the intervention of a second murder arranged by a Deus Ex prison, a secret only I was aware of. And of course, as the accused, we were still widely presumed guilty of something, and so we had no right to be happy anyway. We had taken to heart Jonathan's very strict instructions, never to laugh or smile in public, lest anyone think we were not treating the situation with the proper gravity, lest they think we were anything less than shattered. Now, finally, we exhaled, and in our exhaustion, we felt intoxicated even when we weren't. We did not feel like murderers at all.